Welcome to VIP of the Month Spotlight for February 2019. Now, here is our host, Teresa Rose.
Okay, everybody, welcome to this month's VIP Spotlight. Just a few housekeeping rules before we get started. If everyone will hold off the key until the end of the interview, I will open up the floor to questions, the last few minutes of the interview that you can ask Rod any questions. Rod does have the can decline to answer any question that is asked of him that he wishes not to answer. And like I say, if everybody will just stay off of the key, and we are going to get started with no further ado. Here we go. Welcome, everyone, to February's VIP of the Month Spotlight on VIPconduit.com. And welcome, everyone. And our VIP for the month is our own Rod Hersey. Welcome, Rod.
Nice to be amongst all you guys.
The opening song kind of describes what we're going to find out tonight. Rod is a fan of music. He loves the piano. He's a fan of Mark Dew. And, of course, we want to know all the secrets behind Rod. So, Secrets Behind the Green Door absolutely fits the opening song here. So, we're going to get started. Again, welcome, Rod. Rod was born June 25th, 1954. And, Rod, we're going to get started with our first question of the night. Rod, tell us a little bit about your family and where you grew up.
Okay, you guys, I grew up in Canada's made up into 10 provinces. New Brunswick is one of them. It's next door to the province that I live in now. I came here to go to the school for the blind, but I grew up in New Brunswick until I was 15. A little village called New Denmark. It was a potato-growing farming community. Mostly everybody had farms there that grew potatoes, and people like my dad worked there. There was a lot of farm work that could be done there. And New Denmark was a really cool little community because back in the late 1800s or 1900s, Canada was trying to get immigrants to move in. They had programs where they could get immigrants to move in. And the Danish moved in. They started their own little community. And every little farm had its own, well, they grew potatoes, which was how they made their money. But they had their own little garden. They had their own little apple orchard. They probably had a couple pigs and a few chickens and cows, just enough to keep them all going should there be no stores or no nothing. They're just sort of like settlers. It was a really neat little place.
Zero.
Well, Rod, that does sound interesting, and it's a shame farms are not like that in today's society. They don't exist much anymore. So, Rod, tell us a little bit about your parents and any siblings, if any.
Okay, I got a brother 3 years younger than me. He lives in Halifax right now. He's a taxi driver. I got a sister 4 years younger than me. She lives up in, she might have moved 20 miles away from home, and she's a nurse. My mom comes from the Danish community. She's Danish. And really interesting one, this is one I was starting to talk about last night in the room, is my dad's father came from the United States. He was part of the program, too, in the early 1900s, where Canada said, we'll give you 100 acres of land, and it's yours free of charge. We'll give you the deed for it, and all you have to do is clear 10 acres of it in 10 years. Well, my grandfather didn't have any particular skills, like he wasn't an electrician or anything like that, but he knew how to cut wood. And he had six big, strong boys, so he put them to work cutting wood. And anyway, he moved up from the United States. I don't know where. He met my grandmother somewhere along the line, and they had a big pile of kids. And so my dad's family were immigrants from the United States, and my mom's were immigrants from Denmark.
How interesting. Does any of your family still live on any of the property that they obtained during that deal with the Canadian government?
The farm that my dad's father got is still in my dad's hands, and my dad is 90 years old, and it's deeded to me and willed to me when he passes.
Oh, wow, that's a long tradition for it to still be in the family. That is awesome. Your dad is still living, and I'm assuming your mother is passed?
My dad, is he ever still living? He just bought a four-wheeler a couple summers ago and goes four-wheeling every... He turned 89 January 9th. He's got a four-wheel drive truck. He's got a camera. He's got his four-wheeler, and he loves going camping. And he cuts his own wood every year for his house, which has a wood furnace in, and that's the way that he heats it.
Wow, that hard work is why he probably is as healthy as he is. That is awesome. Rod, I've heard you speak about your grandchild, so I know you have one grandchild, but I'm not sure exactly how many children you have. So you want to tell us a little bit about your immediate family, how many children, and about a little bit about your grandchild?
Actually, you guys, I have no children. I adopted Thea. And anyway, let me see. I have RP, chose to get a vasectomy. But really, you know, I really like having Thea in my life. And the grandchild means the world to me.
Well, tell us, how old is he? I hope I'm remembering correctly. He's a he. Tell us what his name is, and when was the last time you saw him? Els asked me at dinner if you had seen your grandchild, and I said, yes, Rod had, you had a visit from your daughter and spent some time with them not too long ago. So tell us a little bit about that, Rod.
He turned one on January 3rd. His name's Rudy, and he started walking the end of January. And I only saw him last summer. They live in Toronto, but they'll be coming down again this summer.
And I know you probably, how many gifts do you send to that little fella on a monthly basis, Rod, knowing you?
Oh, it's not monthly. I can't spoil him rotten, but he can pretty well count on birthdays, and Christmas is pretty good.
Well, I've got three grandchildren of my own, and actually four now, and I spoil them rotten every opportunity I get. And I know you're very proud to have your little grandson, and I know he means the world to you, Rod. Okay, we're going to move on. Tell us a little bit about your eye condition and when you went blind. Were you born blind, or did you go lose your sight later in life?
Okay, the thing is RP, and I grew up in the country doing the same thing every other country kid did. And when we went to school, and now this is 1960, you got to remember, it was a one-room schoolhouse with, grade one was in this row, grade two was in this row, and there were six little rows, and one teacher took care of the whole clan of us. So they'd leave grade one to write the ABCs in their notebooks, and the teacher must have noticed that I couldn't see very well or wasn't able to copy them off the blackboard. So it's that, I think, was the first point that my eyesight issue was noticed, was when I went to school and there was sort of a formal way where you had to look at things. You know, kids run around, they bump into things or whatever, but I don't think my sight was that bad. So anyway, it was that was the first time that it was noticed. And coming from the small place I do in New Brunswick, I went to a number of little eye doctors, and finally we went to a place in Waterville, Maine, and a guy named Dr. Kevin Hill diagnosed me as having RP, or retinitis pigmentosa. And so that's where it was first diagnosed. And I had quite a bit of sight up until I was 15, because at 15 I went to the school for the blind.
And Rod, that leads up to our next question. If you were mainstream school or if you went to the school for the blind. So you pretty much told us that you did start out in mainstream school. And so tell us at age 15 about going to the school for the blind and where you went and how that impacted your life.
Yeah, I was in public school up until grade 8, so roughly 15. And I went to the school for the blind. It's 400 miles away from my home. But it wasn't as bad as a lot of the kids that went when they were 6 years old and really in hard shape. I was, you know, when you're 15, you're pretty, I mean, I didn't like it. I loved all my friends at home and really hated to be moving away to anywheres. But it wasn't like, there wasn't a lot of crying at night or anything like that. I mean, I was fairly strong, or, you know, I was a full grown guy, right? And, but it's quite a hoedown going into a residential school about halfway through and not knowing where everybody stands on the ladder. And there's those below you and those above you, and it takes a month or two to get that stuff all settled out.
So in your education, I'm assuming, what grade did you finish in the blind school? Did you graduate from the blind? You didn't tell us the name of the school that you went to and if you graduated from there, Rod.
I'm sorry, yes. It was the Halifax School for the Blind here in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And I graduated from there, and I went to St. Mary's University. It's here in Halifax as well.
That leads up to my next question. Tell us a little bit about your further education. What did you study there, and how many years did you attend the university?
Well, I am a piano tuner. I learned piano tuning and got my ticket at the School for the Blind. And I did 3 out of 4 years for a degree in commerce and chose not to go back for the fourth year. So although I've had some university experience in education and 3 out of 4 years, I don't have a degree. So that's, and it was commerce that I studied at St. Mary's. The university is known for commerce.
So speaking about piano tuning, did you actually do that for a living part of your life?
No, I didn't. I knew how to do it, and I did it for a while for friends, but I never got it down to a knack. And one of the things about piano tuning, it's not only, I think it's a lot like music. You don't only, music, you can know it and be very good at it, but it doesn't mean that you're going to become a star at it. I think there's got to be a lot of things come together to make it happen. It's the same way with a piano tuner. He's got to arrange. Here in Nova Scotia, you have to say, put an ad out in a small town that you're going to be there next week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and you try and book up a few bookings. Then you get traveled down there by bus. You set yourself up in a hotel room. You get this whole thing going. And it's all, there's a lot to it, and there are those who have made a living at it and done well, but I didn't.
Okay, Rod, while you were in school, what type of activities or clubs or hobbies did you have during your school years?
I was more into the gym. I wasn't into music. I really wish I had paid more attention to music because I like it so much, and things like choir or even learning an instrument. I'm sorry that I didn't. You know, with such an excellent opportunity, teachers there are more than willing, and just and a wrong focus on my own behalf, I think, at that time. But I got very involved in the gym. I was, I've always been in very good physical condition. Just when we were at home, my dad made a living cutting wood, and us boys always helped with that stuff, and it's, you become in very good physical condition, and so gym was more my cup of tea.
Okay. And that leads me up to a very important question here that I am very interested in hearing about, as well as I'm sure everyone else is. Tell us about your sport accomplishments and the awards and medals that you have won, and tell us how that has impacted your life along the way.
What I've accomplished in sports has given me amazing confidence in life. With any sport, you guys, and you've got the USABA, United States Association of Blind Athletes, when you start out as an athlete, you start out as competing at people in your local town or your local area. Then you go to the state championships. Then you go to regional championships. And then you get to nationals. And when you get to nationals, you get recognized usually if you're any good for the national team. And if not this year, if you're really interested in that, you can train really hard and maybe make it next year. So there's been a lot of provincial, regional, and national championships that I've been to, but I'm going to just list to you the world championships or Paralympics that I've been to. In 1978, I went to the World Goalball Championship on the Canadian team in Innsbruck, Austria. I also that year went to the Can-Am Games in Chicago, Canada against the United States for track. 1979, I went to the World Track and Field Championships on the Canadian team in Stoke Mandeville, England. 1980, I went to the Paralympics in Arnhem, Holland. And that's the summer sports side of things. 1982, I went to the first World Championship for downhill skiing in Switzerland, competed against Mike May, a guy that you guys know, and Mike's a good friend of mine, or we certainly were very involved in sports at the same time. 1984, went to the World Paralympic Championship in Innsbruck, Austria, on the Canadian team. In 1986, I went to the World Championship on the Canadian team in Sälen, Sweden.
Wow, Rod, that is very, I am so impressed. And I'm sure that you are very, very proud of those accomplishments. Out of all of those, which one really stands out the most with you and why?
I set a world record in the 1500 in 1979. The world record before that was 443, and I set a new one at 440.7. I'm lucky enough to be very physically strong, and things like field events, shot put, javelin, discus, or sprints came pretty natural to me. But the 1500 doesn't just come to you. You just don't go and do that. It takes a lot of training. And like training of 10 miles a day, 7 days a week. And your time slowly gets down. And you put a lot into it. And it means a lot when you get, something out of something you put so much effort into.
Now, did you have a trainer, a sighted trainer, Rod? Or was this all done with trainers that were visually impaired as well?
I, where possible, trained with sighted clubs. And that was the key to it, you guys. I worked as most Olympic athletes do, where I think a lot of people... See, the first Paralympics only happened in Canada in 1976. So it's a little bit about, if you're a big kid, go out and have some fun with the Paralympics, and a little bit of come one, come all, and we all have a good time. After 3 or 4 years, it got a little fine-tuned that you had to train to be that. And the people that I worked with wanted me training with sighted teams, doing the same workouts they did. And because they really felt that a lot of the people that I competed against wouldn't be training that hard. And really, the name of the game in Olympic or Paralympic competition is, if you can work that much harder than that guy out in some other province is working, or some other state or other country in the world, the more you put into it, the better you're going to perform, and you put a whole lot of effort onto that day that you're going to compete.
Absolutely. Well, I'm really interested in the downhill skiing. Tell us a little bit about that, Rod.
Well, I skied as a sighted guy and really liked it. And you ski different. There's different methods of guiding downhill skiers. Some people have little radio things in their ear and they're told to go left, go right, or go whatever. Some people, they'll put a bell on a guide and the person skis in front of them and they stay focused on where that bell is and stick to it. I went by voice. Actually, a lot of my traveling, I had a lady as a guide, and she had a very strong voice and was a very, I mean, she was a competitive skier herself and a coach, and in the regular able-bodied system. And anyway, she had a very strong voice, and a lot of times I'd just try and get her to make as much noise as possible while she went down the course, because there's a set course that you have to go through. You go left and right in specific areas where they design this course. I'd have to go through it. Mike would have to go through it. The whole idea is to get through it and get to the bottom in your time. The fastest time is first place. But it's done with a guide. And I knew a lot about skiing before I, before I skied as a blind skier. But I think there's a guy named Ski Bump, and there's a few guys around that have skied. I don't remember meeting anybody online that I competed with at these places, but there's a lot of guys that have done it and have pretty good fun at it.
Wow, I'm very interesting. I've always wondered exactly how you did that. And it's interesting that they would use a bell or, you know, to focus on a voice or whatever. Very interesting, Rod. Tell us, do you think you would have accomplished these things if you had been sighted, or do you think these came about because of fate, because of your visual impairment?
Oh, it totally came as a result of my visual impairment. I would have been just another woodcutter up in New Brunswick, probably. You know, my dad's a truck driver, and there, in my family, there wasn't a whole lot of, maybe I would have, you know, went and got a trade. I've always preached to any young person now, when you're 20 years old, just learn something that they'll pay you to do. I like electrician a whole lot because they pay you pretty good for doing that. But have something hung off you that people will pay you for so you can make a living going through this life. As long as the money rolls in, you'll be okay.
That leads up to another question here before we go into some deeper personal questions. Did you ever have a career, or did you ever work during your life, Rod? And if so, as what?
From about 85 till 2010, I worked with a stockbroker on my parents' brokerage account. I was lucky enough to have him willing to teach me, as well as he made the brokerage fees off the funds. And that would be what I'd call more where I've, you know, made money and what I'd call my career. I've done, I've been a property owner. I was lucky enough at 18 years old to have an uncle who left me a house. So from when I was 18 till I was about 50, I was lucky to have the income coming off of a rental property. Then I sold that. I started a piano that's still in existence in Halifax today, or a business, Dr. Piano. It's a local Yamaha franchise. It's the biggest Yamaha piano franchise in Atlantic Canada. So there's been a few things that I've been involved in from an investment point. Actually, I chose sports rather than to be involved in that back then. So I guess that's, but I'm always looking for a way to make a buck.
Aren't we all? Interesting, Rod. Very interesting. Now we're going to move into a little more personal questions here. Rod, you said that you were young age and starting school and not being able to see the blackboard is when you really realized that you had a vision problem, and your parents took you to find out exactly what was wrong. When did you realize you were different from the other kids, and did they treat you differently?
Oh, yeah, for sure. A big thing in the country is getting your driver's license when you're 16. If your dad will co-sign for you when you're 16, you get your driver's license. And a lot of the farm boys, their dads had pickups, so that was usually the vehicle that the young guy, 16, 18 years old, got. So for a country guy not to have a pickup, it didn't look for a rosy future. So that was always in the back of my mind. And there are, as in all places in life, there can be some tormenting little devils who, if they can get something up on you. Now, I have sensed these people are still back in New Denmark and they're laying back on welfare and have never done anything in their life other than that they could see. And so that's exactly how I look at them birds back then. But, it seemed kids don't seem to want to let you forget that you certainly are different.
Well, it didn't stop you, and I bet some of them look at you or read about you today or the accomplishments that you have done for Canada and think, wow, that was a little blind kid in school. Rod, tell us a little bit about some of your fondest childhood memories growing up.
I'll tell you, I've always liked to eat, and this is a fond memory of mine. After a real good hard day's work, I have a grandmother who was Danish, and again, we had this little garden. And anyway, you'd come in and you'd get yourself a wash, and there'd be a big meal laid out on the table. And she'd make all these little Danish things, like she'd cut up little onions and put like sugar and vinegar on them. And then she'd put, or maybe salt and vinegar. I can't remember what it was. And then the thinly sliced cucumbers, and they'd just have vinegar or something. She'd have all these little dishes, it was all just healthy, good stuff that she had picked that afternoon in the garden. And you're hungry and good and hungry because you've been loading wood all day long. And to sit down and to drive a meal like that into you and round up the plate maybe the second time and then have a good hot cup of tea after it, those are pretty fond memories.
Yummy. I've never heard of anybody putting either salt and vinegar or even sugar and vinegar on little onions. Sounds interesting. Bet it was good.
Well, they were just raw little things, and I guess it was a way to flavor them up to make them a little bit different. But, you know, you'd put your pork chops on, your potatoes and your vegetables. They were sort of like a pickle, you know. You'd have a little bit of a garnish. You'd put a few of these things on and just tasty.
Oh, it sounds yummy. Tell us, Rod, one of the things that you got in the most trouble with your parents for, and why, and what was your punishment?
Well, first of all, I'm not unfamiliar with what a belt can be used for. It was believed in as a motivator very highly by my dad. And for anybody who knows this, knows what has had a belt used on them, there's a particular sound when a belt has been undone and a man who's mad jerks it out of his pants and it flicks its way through those belt loops. If you've ever heard it and it's intended for you, you'll never forget it.
I know the feeling. I've heard it, Rod. I've heard it.
But anyway, I was a guy who had RP and couldn't accept the fact that I wasn't going to be able to drive. So my uncle lived across the road from us, and his house was between us and where Dad's car was. So I was going to take her for a little drive. So anyway, I took her, I don't know, and I seemed to think I was between the house and him. I figured he couldn't see me. Yeah, the blind guy figuring this all out, right? So anyway, I stopped somewheres with it, and I decided, well, I wanted to back her up right in place where it was before. So Dad used to open up the door and look out and look behind, see if anything's behind him, and I tried that too. Anyway, I backed up, and there was a big lump of earth and it jerked the door right around, like towards the front fender. And anyway, that's what my dad came upon that night when he came home from work.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm assuming the belt came off, and I could just see you opening the door and pretending that you're looking behind the car. How funny, Rod.
Oh, I had to look like a country boy, you know. I had to pretend I could see. I couldn't see no more than I could see today. Or, well, maybe a little bit more, but with RP, you got a lot of blind spots. You can look at something. You might be just looking at a blind spot. Something could be in your blind spot, and you can see perfect all the way around. You think you can see, but you sure can't. And besides, I never should have been doing that. And that was one in particular, you guys, but there's been quite a few.
Rod, I just can't picture you getting into too much trouble at all. I just can't picture it.
I've learned how to get along a lot better in life with age.
Oh, Rod, here we go. Tell us what age you were when you first started noticing girls.
You know, I was thinking about that one today. I can honestly remember, you guys, in grade like 3 and 4, there was this little girl down the road from us, and she sat maybe one or two in front of me, and she had these braids. And I had never seen braids before, and I thought, oh, those are pretty cool. And I can remember I thought she was a cute girl. Now, I didn't, you know, I had no idea about boys and girls in relationships, but I do remember that. But I guess around grade 7, grade 8, you start paying attention to that stuff.
I gotta ask, did you pull her braids? Rod, did you ever touch them?
I think I did, or my brain was working because I thought it would be really cool to pull them, but she might not like me if I did that. So I didn't pull them, but I remember thinking that.
Oh, how cute. Does she have ribbons in them, or do you remember?
Oh, probably. You know, I imagine something to hold them together. Yeah, I remember. Her name was Elaine Funk, F-U-N-K. It's a Danish name.
Oh, this leads up to the next question. What age were you when you got your first kiss, and do you remember who she was?
Well, actually, it was a cousin of mine, probably a second cousin. It didn't seem, I mean, I remember it was Halloween one year, and we were in grade 8, I think, or something. We were all out doing first it was all we were going out for Halloween, but somehow we sort of ended up in couples and walking down the road, you know? And like in the country, you just walk up and down the roads. But I remember that.
And do you remember her name? And where were you at when you got your kiss?
Oh, just home, you know, on the road. It was Halloween night, like I say, and we all decided to try this kissing stuff out, I guess. And, it was just home in the country at night one time.
So all of you decided you were going to try out the kissing that night? So it wasn't just you and your second cousin?
I guess I sort of figured they did. I don't know. I wasn't paying much attention to them.
I just got to give you a hard time, Rod. All right, we're going to move on to a little more current items here. Rod, when did you start getting involved with the computer and with online sites such as the like VIP here and other blind sites? When did you start using the computer and getting involved with them?
I started the computer in 2013, Halloween night. I sent my first email, or it was in the afternoon, to my daughter. And I didn't know about this email stuff. I was used to telephones. You call somebody and they pick up and you talk, or they don't talk. Not this, oh, we'll get back whenever we feel like it stuff. I said, that could be 2 or 3 days away. And I couldn't believe it. She wrote back within 2 or 3 minutes. And that was Halloween night 2012 or 13. And I joined Out of Sight about 5 years ago, the 1st of March, just here in a few days. It's just about my 5th year anniversary being involved in any website. And it was 1 year and 3 months after that in 2015, July, that I joined VIP. So this July I'll have been on VIP for 4 years. But I've been on sites for about 5 years right now.
Rod, how did the computer and getting involved with the sites change your life?
Oh, it's just amazing. It's two different worlds, you guys. I used to be a blind guy with a bunch of receipts in a shoebox. Thousands of them. And trying to get some sighted person to help me find the particular one for this thing that I bought. You know, all that stuff. I remember I heard about Blind Mice Mart through Dale Campbell says, get a computer, man, it's freedom. Get a computer, man, it's freedom. And anyway, be honest with you, I heard about Bernie in Dartmouth. And I heard Bernie was on a computer. Now, myself at the time, I was 59 years old, I guess, because I'm just about 65 now. And I said, well, Bernie's doing this stuff, and I've competed in sport. Bernie's been at different events that I've been to in the past and stuff like that. And I said, well, if Bernie can do this, I'll bet you I can too. So I got a hold of Chris, and he helped me with the whole thing. And it's, oh, man, you guys. My dad is illiterate. He doesn't read or write. And I said to my dad, as I said to this to somebody online just last night, I said, Dad, you wouldn't believe this. And I know he doesn't believe this. I said, but I can read with this thing. And he didn't say anything to me, but I know, I think he thinks I'm just dreaming.
It is amazing to what we can do with our computers today, and it is also amazing to see how sighted people react to what we can do, and I experienced that in my own life, Rod, as well. Rod, during your whole life, who is the one person that made the most impact on your life that you can that would have made your character?
Oh, geez, you know, Teresa Rose, that's a very, very hard one. I've ran into a lot of people in a lot of places in my life, and I don't think there's been any. I guess I was a little hard-headed at taking advice. I'm sure there's been lots of people more than willing to give it to me, but I don't know. I've got a lot of advice about coaching from coaches. You know, to this day, I'll ask people on these sites, well, what would you guys do if this happened? You know, I've run across this, and how did you deal with it, and how we deal with it? So I'm always asking people, and so I'm sorry, but I don't have one.
Well, sounds like you have lots of them. You just can't single one out, and that's good as well.
Thank you.
Rod, if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
You know, I've been thinking about that. It would be somewhere warm. I have thought about India. And it's just, I'm very open to different things. One thing I liked in my travels, I've been to 10 different countries other than my own. And I just totally submerged myself in the culture when I was there. Like in Italy, I ate Italian food and learned a few words in Italian. Please, thank you, good night. All the polite words. Same thing in Austria or Germany or Holland. So I really like different cultures, different foods. And I don't know much about India, but I've heard that there's a lot of different cultures. It's a fairly big country. You can go from pretty vegetarian food to pretty meaty food to, you know, they got big cities, they got countries, their country area. The Manali Valley is, it's sort of like California. It's a very rich valley full of lots of fruits and vegetables and a very, I've never been to India, but it sounds like a kind of a cool place to check out. But I do really like living here in North America.
India would be nice, and it sounds like you've already gotten a good start to learning about the cultures, and you must really like to eat, Rod. You talk a lot about food. Do you like to eat? And let's go ahead and ask, what is your favorite food?
I guess I'd have to say hearty food. I like big stews, boiled dinners, big roast beef dinners. I was thinking about that tonight when I ate supper just before I came here. Although I love all the appetizers, like, you know, just today, Susie B. and Judy and I were talking about bacon-wrapped watercress and then baked in teriyaki sauce. Like, those things are really delicious, there's no doubt. But when you dig into a couple bowls of a boiled dinner with full carrots and meat and vegetables, I get energy from food. And meals like that really, they charge your battery up really. The other stuff is very tasty, and I love it too, but I get a certain satisfaction out of really good good food. But, you know, I like Italian, I like Indian, I like Thai food. There's not too much other than sardines that I won't eat. And it's just a dumb hang up because sardines haven't been cleaned. They still have their guts in them. And I got a hang up about that. It always bothered my mind to be eating something like that.
I'm right there with you, Rod. I can't eat little things that look like little fishes. No way. Rod, what is the one thing in your life, if you could change or do over again, what would it be?
I'd have probably got my degree. Although my degree, I don't think, affected a lot of my life, I kind of feel bad that it was left unfinished. You know, we all, it's like a charm bracelet of life. We gather these things along the way. We gather our grade 6 graduation. We gather our confirmation into Christianity. Your grade 12. I wouldn't mind having my university degree on my wrist. Or, you know, as an accomplishment that I did. I'm sorry that I didn't bite the bullet and dig in at the time. And I'm sorry, but I was probably one of those young men who saw having fun as much more important. And I wished I would have just hung on in there for another year.
Have you thought about going back and getting that degree? Has that ever crossed your mind?
Oh, I'd never do it now. I've learned how to make a dollar in life and how to get a lot out of life. And like I say, a degree would not have taught me or better prepared me through life. It's just sort of an unfinished thing, you know what I mean? Or a little... not the end of the world or anything like that, but just a little bit of a... there's a lot of things I wished I had done differently, but that's... And again, I don't lose sleep over it. It's just something when you did ask the question, you know, when we talked about questions, that is something I wished I'd done.
What are you the most proudest of in your life up to date?
My ability to make a living in this world as a blind person, or to turn a buck so I can live a decent lifestyle. It sure isn't easy, and it takes a lot of things to line up for you, and it takes a lot of drive and discipline on your own part. But, you know, I have earned a home, I've earned a lot of respect, and... I don't know. I guess just making a decent life out of a life as a blind person?
Well, Rod, during this interview, I have already learned more about you than I thought I would learn. You have accomplished so much in your life with your Olympics and your accomplishments in the business world and the accomplishments that you have made with the computer. It shows that you are a fighter and definitely not a quitter, and that even without that degree, you have accomplished more than what some people that have even that degree has ever accomplished in their life, Rod. And I am very proud to know you and to be able to call you my friend. Rod, I know you're one of the kindest persons on the sites that I have met. If you won the lotto today, what would you do?
Well, I've often thought about that, you guys. I could do an awful lot for a lot of people. I've often said to a lot of people, there's nothing more in life really I want. I mean, I'd like to see Rudy and Thea do well, but all I ask out of life is to be warm and well-fed, as you can tell by the food things. I could make a lot of difference in a lot of people's lives, and I do like leaving a person in a better condition or a better situation than where I found them. That gives me a really kick in life, and I wish there's more that I could do. Like, I mean, there's a lot of people that are living with iPhones. I wish they could have computers and iPhones. Or if they've got a computer, maybe it'd be nice to have a Victor Reader Stream. Or there's animal shelters. There's a lot of people that need a lot of things and can just use a little bit of help. And honestly, if I had $1 million, I'd probably, well, I'd know how to invest it, put it into something so it was giving me $100,000 a year, and I'd be giving away $100,000 a year from there on in because I like doing it.
And Rod, I believe that you're that kind of person, and I know of things over the years that I have known you that you have done in secret for people, and you're such a kind and gentle soul. And again, I am so proud to be your friend. Rod, we're going to wind up here with my last question, and then we're going to open up the floor to the VIP members to ask some questions. Rod, thank you so much for granting me the opportunity to do this interview and accepting your VIP spotlight for the month of February. I am very proud to have been able to interview. The last question from me tonight is, when did you become a member of VIP Conduit, and how has it impacted and changed your life?
It was July 2015, and you guys, I've been in, it's amazing how it's affected my life. I've been in a lot of communities in my lifetime, and, you know, as in any community, there's certain people you see, they're your really good friends. There's a few of them. There's quite a few that you'll nod to, and there's nothing against them or everything like that. And there might be a few you don't care for. I have never met a community where I've met so many nice people that I really care for.
What happened?
And, geez, I don't know. I heard a little voice in there, you guys. You know, every night we come in here, you hear different people popping in. Well, there's Linda Lee, and I love talking to Linda Lee. I like Anita, Becky. I mean, I can't even start naming the people I like. I used to come into a room and name a couple people that I really liked, and then a lot of the nice ladies I met. Well, it got so there's everybody. And I started getting ashamed because if I left somebody out, I'd feel bad because they were just as much important as the other 10 that I named. So you guys, it's been a wonderful circle of friends, and I really love you all.
And Rod, we love you, and we are glad that you are part of VIP, and you make a big difference around here. You host the welcome event and make all the new members feel welcome. And we just appreciate everything that you do for VIP. And again, Rod, thank you so much for granting me this interview. Okay, we're going to open up the floor. If you will key up and ask one question at a time and let Rod answer before the next person keys up. Who wants to ask their first question?
Hi, Rod. Good interview. Enjoyed it. You had referred to the fact that you were involved in athletics, and I was wondering about, are you part doing or involved in any kind of athletic program or events now in the way of keeping in shape or exercise program that you might recommend for a guy like me? Connected to that, what hobbies do you have at home when you're not here on the site?
Part of the reason I have dogs is because it forces me to walk every night. I believe very strongly in physical fitness, you guys. I'm going to be 65 in June, and I'm on absolutely no meds, but I also walk 2 miles every day. And I don't rest mentally unless I've got that exercise done. Part of it, I used to cheat on it and say, oh, well, I don't need to go out tonight. It's rainy or it's cold. But when I got animals, they deserve the walk, whether I'm lazy or whatever. So it just become a thing, rain, sleet, or snow, that I always did. And that's, Rick, that's what I get a routine and make it part of your day. Even if it's just walking around the block, just do something to move, to get the blood moving a little bit. It's been being physically fit has been very good to me. I'll tell you one thing. Al's gave me a tape. I forget what it's called, the 1 mile walk or what. It's an exercise tape that can be done very easily in your own place.
Hey, Rod. You are one of the nicest men I've ever met, and I mean that. But my question is, if you hadn't lost your sight, what would you want to do in life? What would your career be if you was a totally sighted person?
I'd probably be just like Robert M. was, a diesel mechanic in the country. We did a lot of wood cutting and stuff like that up there. There's big machines that, you know, skidders and big machines in the woods that have big diesel motors. I'd probably be a mechanic.
And Rod,
I
want to thank you for being interviewed this evening. Been very interesting. I agree that you're one of the nicest folks on the site. You're always cheerful. You make everybody smile. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And keep up the good work there, young feller. And my question is, why is it always you have women instructors and guides? I don't know. I don't understand that. Can you explain that a little bit? Is there some reason behind it? Is it really true that you're always chasing women?
My biggest problem about getting a ski guide is that Southern girls don't ski much. They're more into the Southern stuff. But I've got a lot of good lady friends, you guys, and they're all like my sisters to me, and I'd do anything for them, I do like ladies, and I love talking to them and stuff like that. But Terry, I'll tell you set a fine example. There's a lot of people on this site that care about people and care how they feel. It's like coming in at night, somebody comes up with a subject, and somebody says, oh, the terrible side of it. Well, I'd a lot sooner speak on the positive side of it. It's easier to go through life being happier and looking at what's good going to happen than what, oh, you know how that's going to end up. And I'll tell you, Terry, you set a good pace for me.
Hey, Rod, you know I've always had a whole lot of respect for you, and you are a great person, a great asset to this site. I've always had a lot of respect for you because we think a lot alike when it comes to blindness type stuff. And so the fact that you were trained in the sighted world instead of being trained around other blind people is highly respectable. But my question is, did you have to kind of convince the trainers to treat you like everyone else and to work you out hard, or, you know, to keep them from maybe making you do a little bit less because you're the poor blind dude? And, you know, did you have to talk them into working you out as hard as everybody else, or did they just do it?
Help me.
Well, first of all, it was usually with a blind sport organization that you started out, but, you know, there were a lot of people who did good for us, you know, who they spent the time picking you up, taking you out to a field, save it's throwing the javelin, which is sort of like a spear. And you're judged in the distance that you throw it. You got to get to the field. You're got to get the javelins out there. You got to be lined up so you aren't throwing them where there are people for a start. And so they're very helpful for you. But the best thing that you can do is get into an able-bodied program, because they've got proper coaches. They've got trained coaches in these events. The coaching is a lot better than just a very kind person who's willing to do everything they can. They just don't have the skill. So the route that I went oftentimes, and usually I spoke with these coaches, I spoke with these clubs, and part of the reason that they take me on is that I was eager and I wanted to work hard and I wanted to become very good. And when they get that sense of hunger from you, they a lot of times like it and want an athlete like that to work with.
Ron, I also want to, first of all, ditto what everybody else said. I really respect you, and you've really helped me find my way through these sites. But you're really, really outgoing, Mike, and you host events and all that. My question is, were you always that outgoing? Do you think the sports events helped you become that outgoing? And were you nervous the first time you ever hosted an event?
Oh, heck yeah, Angela. I think you and I have talked about this before. I didn't have any idea I'd be any good at this stuff. We used to all hang around out of sight, and Mark used to do the new member welcome. Only, in my opinion, he didn't do a very good job at it because there were things that he'd forget. And I was fairly new at the site and could remember things, and he'd say a few things, but I'd remember some neat little things that he had forgotten about. And then it was in December back in 2015 that I started doing the new member welcome on Out of Sight and have done it steady since then. I'm coming up on 3.5 years. But no, Angela, I had no idea. I probably didn't have much confidence. You know, I mean, I think losing your eyesight can take a little bit of the wind out of you, especially if you're living in a sighted world. But no, I'll tell you, Angela, I had no idea that I could. As a matter of fact, I remember the first time I had to do it. I was there 10 minutes ahead of time, made sure the computer was ready, made sure the coffee was ready, and hoped and had a little list of things to talk about in case that the air was going dead. I didn't want any of that. I didn't want to sound like a dummy there, not knowing what I was talking about. No, it just happened, and you hone the skill after a while a little bit better, as you know.
Anyone else have a question for Rod?
Rod, I apologize for coming in so late. My parents are coming in tonight. And I just want to say, when I look at who's in the room and you're there, along with other people, of course, a big smile gets on my face and I think, oh, good. He doesn't have anything bad to say about anybody, and I will be at ease with Rod. So I'm just so glad to know you and have you part of these groups.
You're very kind, Berlin, and I got to be honest with you. It's meeting people like you in the new member welcome or the Rod's meet and greet here on this site. Meeting new people as they come on the site. I've met an awful lot of wonderful people. It's where I met Angela. a whole pile of people on Out of Sight, and people, it's more recent that I've been doing it here, but there's, you know, I get to meet a lot of the people first when they come on, and like I say, it's fun, because there's, but you know something, Berlin, I do work on being positive. Like I say, if I can choose a comment to say, and if it can, if I'd way, it'll be probably positive, or it won't be anything at all. I don't think there's much to be gained from negative comments.
Hey, Rod, I'd just like to make a comment that you have a great speaking voice, and you always make everyone feel welcome at home, and you got that bounce in your voice, and you're definitely an asset to all the chat sites across the board, my friend, and I'm proud to call you my friend.
Well, you are a friend of mine, Els. Like everybody else, like I say, it's very hard to find somebody that I don't like, and in most communities, like I say, we've all got our little categories and stuff like that. It's fun being lively, and it's fun recognizing people. I think there's a lot of us in our lives that haven't been recognized. You know, we just live our lives and live normal lives and do nothing particularly exciting. But when you get on these sites, just hearing somebody's voice, if they're living by themselves or something, and caring about them and them knowing that you do it, is kind of nice for me.
Well, Rod, I just want to say, with your caring attitude, your caring way that you have with people, and I think each person feels it personally. I know I do. And you're just a wonderful person, and this is a most delightful interview.
You guys are getting me, I got a little emotional early, you guys, because sometimes stuff like this, when I'm talking about my two friends, it does really get to me, and I almost felt bad that I almost lost it there on a couple things, but it's not hard to be up with you guys.
Anyone else have a question for Rod? Last question.
Rod, I always enjoy talking to you, and you help me get on that black cherry pills. They do help out.
You know, Linda Lee, I look forward to you talking to you every morning in the coffee cup or in Anita's event. And you were so kind to me. I called you the lady from from South Carolina for about 6 months. And then I think it was Terry said, she's not from South Carolina. And you were so kind not to correct me. A lot of people say, I'm not from South Carolina, I'm from North Carolina. But it was, that's just another example of what people are like around here. They don't, she knew that I didn't know, but didn't take the time to correct me. And anyway, it's stuff like that that makes it fun to be here.
I want to thank everyone for coming out and supporting the VIP Spotlight of the Month, and coming out to hear about our February VIP, Mr. Rod Hersey from Canada. Rod, again, thank you so very much. In March of 2019, there will be no VIP for the month of March. We will pick back up on April the 29th, so put it on your calendar. April the 29th, 2019, VIP for the month of April will be our own Verlin Baldwin. So we look forward to that interview, and be sure and congratulate Verlin for being nominated and as the VIP for the month of April. Rod, again, thank you so much. We all love you and appreciate you, and thank you for sharing your life with us. And we're going to close out with this. It's something special that means something special to Rod. So we'll close out with this.
I won't stay at home and cry at night like every night before. Just learn that I don't really need you anymore. I found a little place downtown where girls like me can go, and they so fast. I'll say bright lights and country nothing else can take away this loneliness of mine. White light, bright lights, and country music. Bright lights and country music. A bottle and a glass. Soon I'll be forgetting that there ever was a past. Help me forget so fast. I'll say bright lights and country music. I love those bright lights and country music.
This has been a presentation of VIP Congress.